Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Hello and welcome in to the Jayhawk Talk Podcast, the best above average KU podcast on the internet. I am Kevin. Joined with me, as always, is Andrew. How you doing, Andrew?
Pretty good, Kevin. So you know how the Sviatoslav bandwagon is starting to get some members, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that from the beginning, we've established that we're kind of the drivers of that bandwagon. We're in the cab. Well, I'm going to tell you, as of right now, I am getting out of the car, but then the car's still going, and now I'm dancing on the hood. I'm ghost riding the bandwagon of Sviatoslav Mikhailiuk. Maybe put some whistle tips in that bandwagon. So just want to know, if you want to join the ghost riding bandwagon with me dancing on the hood while it's going, there's more than enough room.
Is there?
For anyone. Oh, yeah. It's going to get pretty big as the time goes on.
It better be a big car.
Yeah. Well, we've got a lot to talk about today, Kevin. We've got some Orlando coming up, but give us the breakdown today.
You got it. We're going to talk a little tiny bit about Kentucky, but we're going to do it our own special way. We're, of course, going to bring up a little Rider, that game last night that you went to and I, of course, watched on the Time Warner Network. We're going to talk a little bit, Andrew, about freshman minutes, because I think this is a thing that's kind of going around. It's going to be our water cooler conversation. Then we're going to preview the Orlando games and
Orlando,
and then end with a little bit of football. Andrew, we're going to talk a little good cop, bad cop when it comes to keeping Clint Bowen as our head coach going forward. So we got a lot to talk about. First, Andrew, I'm going to hit you with this. That's right. It's panic time.
Panic.
Oh, so my God. Did you see that Kentucky game?
It's almost a tradition amongst KU fans and also here on the best above average KU podcast on the internet that after a game where we don't look very good, we hit the panic button. We give ourselves just a few minutes to vent. Last year, we did this after the Florida game. Is that right?
I think so.
I think we did it earlier in some form with TCU, whatever. But we obviously got worked by Kentucky.
We got worked.
Have a lot to say, a lot of negative feelings. A lot of KU fans were ready to, you know, I don't know what they were ready to do. They were panicking.
They were not riding on the car. They were not ghost riding.
They were not ghost riding that bandwagon. People were jumping off.
They were.
Because it was about to crash. We lost by 32, only scored 40 points. Mm. So what we're going to do here, because obviously this isn't a happy topic, not something we want to do, but we need to address it a little bit. So we're going to give ourselves a minute.
1 minute.
1 minute to just freak out, to just lose our minds, to panic, and then we're going to be done. We're going to move on to Ryder.
Hang on. Watch this. You ready?
You have the timer?
Set a timer for 1 minute.
Roger that. T-minus 1 minute and counting.
Roger. All right, Andrew. Panic time.
This is what I want to say. If you listen to the last week's podcast, everything that George said that pissed you off and that pissed me off was actually true, and that made me even more mad. When he was talking about, oh, Kentucky's so good and blah, 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 everything he was saying, like, didn't believe it at the time. It's true, and it makes me so mad.
Oh, all right. Here's the things I got to talk about, Andrew. The things that we were afraid of about our team, that we didn't have any length, that we were a little soft on the interior, that Perry is not ready to take the next step, that he just get exposed by anybody taller than him. All of those things were true, completely true. We just got worked on the interior. Our guards didn't pass the ball. We didn't pass the ball out of the post, into the post. We drove to throw it up against 7-footers. There was just no rhyme or reason for the drives. It was just awful. And we didn't shoot any dang threes. Uh-oh.
Okay.
Our timer's up, I guess. I mean, I had some more to say, but, you know, we set it in 1 minute.
All right. Moving on to Ryder.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. That's all you can say about it.
All right, Kentucky, we're moving on. We may address this game in passing, maybe as a learning experience going down the road. But otherwise, water under the bridge
didn't happen.
Let's move on.
I'm ready to move on.
Okay, Ryder. Let's talk about Ryder. Ryder was a fun game last night, especially the first half. Second half, a little rougher. In the first half, we obviously outscored them 51-22, which is a good half no matter who you're playing against. You know, Ryder's a pretty good team. Brandon Green led the team with 17 points, although I wouldn't say he was our best player that night. He just took a lot of shots. But, you know, Perry was the exact opposite as he was in the Kentucky game. He was kind of aggressive. He had a dunk, Kevin.
So,
two dunks. One real dunk and one pretty good dunk. But one, like, dunk.
Yeah.
We're talking dunk. Which
was like a real dunk.
But in order to analyze this game, we're going to try something different, a little something new. We're going to call it the good, the bad, and the filthy. So, obviously, in the good section, we're going to give you, you know, something good that happened or someone good. The bad, you know, things we need to improve on. And then the filthy, it can be whatever, but it could be just our favorite play, something filthy that happened.
Filthy.
Something awesome or however we want to define it. So, do you have a drop for the good?
Let's do it.
Here's the three. I'm telling you, he's in a zone right now.
I think you can put a blow hold on it.
All right, Andrew, the good. What was your good from this game?
I think you'd like Perry Ellis's aggressiveness.
Okay.
Specifically on the offensive end, I love that dunk. The dunk was great. Here's the thing, though. We know he can do it now. Like, we know that skill set exists in him.
I still don't believe.
And therefore, he's got no excuse to not do that anymore. Like, we know we can do it. Like, yeah, Perry, we've seen you ride a bike. Like, you got to ride a bike now. So we know he can do it.
Not fooling anybody.
You know, he can muscle people and then go up and make that dunk. I will say that a few minutes beforehand, I had said out loud, you know, I don't think Perry can dunk anymore because he just did a layup, like an easy bunny layup. Like, he should have dunked that. And then he must have heard me.
Probably.
But, yeah, so I'm going to go with Perry's aggressiveness in the interior. What about you, Kevin?
No, I think that's a good. The one thing that kind of cracks me up now, I kind of led the Perry dunk thing just because I said, like you did, that I don't think he can dunk the ball. It drives me nuts when someone that's 6'7 doesn't dunk the ball because I'm 6 foot and I can't dunk the ball. And it makes me sad. And if I could dunk the ball, I'd dunk the ball every single time I had a chance. And he didn't. And so it was making me mad. And I thought that he was, you know, if he was going to take the next step, he's going to have to be more aggressive. Obviously, self thinks the same thing. So anyway, last year we brought up the Perry dunk thing. Now, you know, he's got two dunks through three games. That is going to hit the over if our bet holds here. So I'm hoping that we do hit the over. Because every time Perry makes a dunk, I get like 45 mentions on Twitter. People saying that.
Are they saying like, hey, Kevin, look, Perry can dunk? Or are they just kind of recognize you as the Perry dunk aficionado?
I don't know. It's
are you the curator of the Perry dunk museum?
Yes, that part is accurate. That is a true statement. But yeah, I think when he did that, the big dunk, all I tweeted in caps was I just died. and then I was like, I need a commercial to regroup after seeing that. It was really funny. But anyway, so yeah, good on Perry. That is a good. Hopefully he can keep it up. You know, they did have a 7-footer, so it wasn't like he was going against a bunch of 6'5 guys, but he used his speed. You know, he was aggressive and obviously we need to see that more from him. Andrew, how about the bad? What do you got?
I'm concerned about the young guys. Kelly Oubre is still looking a little lost. You know, he gets to play some minutes. I wasn't completely shut out of the game. And Cliff only played, you know, 2-3 minutes in the second half. You know, he doesn't have a good average. You know, he only ended up playing 13 minutes, which is kind of crazy to think about because he makes himself known when he's in the game. You think he's gonna play longer. But you know, he scored 10 points. I'm really confused about these freshmen. Are they not good enough? Are they not ready? What do you think?
I think that Bill Self feels like right now he can make these statements that hopefully by the time games start to matter, these guys will have it figured out. Supposedly there were some off the court issues potentially involved as well with them not playing very much. Something about missing a tutoring session or something. Who knows? I'm not in the locker room, but I do know that when Kelly Oubre is on the floor, that time versus when Sviatoslav is on the floor at that position, it's night and day. And I don't know. I hope Kelly gets it figured out because he is so gosh darn athletic and skilled, and you can see the promise there. And obviously he's got, you know, all the promise in the world in terms of next level. But I think Self's just taking his time. You know, this is the time to make those statements. He's got a deep roster, so that he's got the ability to do that, which is nice. But I'm with you. I really hope that these two get it figured out because I think we're going to need them.
I think so, too. It's just a little concerning. I mean, these are the guys who are projected lottery picks and, you know, certainly don't look it now. But, all right, let's move on to the filthy.
You got it. What do you got for filthy?
Okay, I want to go with the Cliff Alexander alley-oop dunk just because I want to preview that I think Cliff Alexander is going to tear down a basketball goal this year.
Yeah.
I think he's going to knock it off its hinges. The bolts are going to come out and it's going to fall down because that dunk last night on that alley-oop, it was obviously, he was coming at it, you know, pretty aggressively from a side-to-side motion, and that goal swayed for several seconds afterwards. It shook back and forth. I don't know if you could see it on TV, but yeah. I had a good view of it moving. So, you know, little bit by little bit, I think he's going to tear it down.
It's too bad we're not playing in like Maui this year, like Puerto Rico, one of those gyms that, you know, is not quite as advanced maybe as some of these, you know, obviously these high major Division I basketball gyms, because those are the ones that would probably have the best chance of breaking. You know, if you're playing out in Maui, in the little tiny high school gym, that could come down. That could come down. But I'm with you. I hope one comes down this year. Maybe
in Orlando, because they don't play in that whatever center. It holds like 5,000 people.
Yeah,
it's not like a big gym or you know something like the United Center or
right.
You know big gyms in the Big 12. So maybe this weekend, maybe this Thanksgiving weekend, all of our Thanksgiving wishes can come true and a goal can be torn down, but that's what I think. But anyway, that dunk was filthy.
It was filthy. Any other takeaways from the game overall?
I think it was a get right game. I think we needed to, you know, against, you know, Ryder's not Kentucky, but we needed a game against a, you know, competitive team that we could show that we're still a basketball team. Cause I think our confidence was shaken quite a bit. I think the fans' confidence was shaken quite a bit. So we kind of needed a game to just get right, show that we're still going to be a good basketball team this year. And I think that by and large, we accomplished that. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, obviously that first half was a lot of fun. They were running and gunning and, you know, defense was leading to offense, which is obviously something Bill Self likes to see. And I think there were a ton of good things to take away from the game. They're just the things that stand out negatively are still the freshmen, but obviously you can live with some of those things when you got Sviatoslav going nuts and you got Brandon Green going nuts and Perry having a good aggressive game. And maybe the biggest takeaway the strangest stat line was Wayne Selden, who didn't score a point but had a whole bunch of assists. I think he had 7 first half assists. I don't know what he finished with, but he was kind of taking the role of the facilitator. A lot of people on Twitter afterwards were kind of taking it a little bit as a negative, saying, you know, hey, you can't win many games with him scoring 0 points and blah, 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 which I guess I sort of understand and agree with, because you want him to score something. But at the same time, I mean, it was kind of nice to see him look to pass. And I don't know if his confidence is shaken with the jump shot or not. You know, there might be something there, but at least he was making his impact on the game. And that was my most interesting takeaway, at least for me.
All right, one more thing before we move on, and this is kind of looking into the future with Wayne Selden. At work today, having our little water cooler conversation like we do about KU basketball, someone brought up, and you know I've heard this before, but they were very adamant about it, that Wayne Selden should be definitively given the role of point guard. So Wayne at the one, you know, some combination of Sviatoslav at the two or three with Oubre, or, you know, throw whoever else you want there in there at the wing. Yeah, it makes for a pretty tall perimeter if you have, you know, Oubre and Brandon Green or whoever. But is that realistic? Does he have the handles? And, I mean, obviously we saw his passing ability and ability to distribute last night. But, you know, is that just a fan talking? Or is this a realistic basketball strategy thing that, you know, could happen or should happen?
I guess, you know, at the next level, if he wants to be able to play at the next level, he's going to have to expand his jump shot to have any kind of chance to play, you know, on the perimeter at a two or whatever. And he's got good size and he's obviously strong. You'd love him to be a good point guard. I mean, that in the NBA, that'd be awesome to have a 6'5 point guard that's strong and fast and has the athleticism. Andrew, I haven't seen that athleticism from him yet in a KU uniform. And I don't know if it's, I know last year there was some thoughts about it, how he was, you know, a little injured or whatever and played through it. But I want to see him have breakaway speed or see him jump into the lane and make a dish or something. You know, a lot of his assists were just good looks. They weren't point guard looks. You know, they weren't like a facilitating point guard play or whatever. And that, I don't know. So I guess I'm not there yet. I think in self-system, he's more of a combo. I think that's just what he's going to be. Now, what I had mentioned a week ago, and I said that I thought Sviatoslav ought to be our point guard. And I sort of said it, I think people thought I was joking on Twitter, but I kind of meant it. He was the only one in the Kentucky game that seemed to drive with a purpose to pass and see court vision-wise better than anyone else on the court. I was kind of in jest, but I sort of meant it too. What about that? I mean, I honestly think he's a better point guard right now than Selden.
Yeah, he's certainly showing how smart he is at playing basketball. He's got a high basketball IQ. I know it's cliche to say, but watching him play, you can see what that term means.
Yeah.
Is that he makes the right pass. He knows where guys are going to be or where guys should be, and he can execute it. So, I mean, I think that that's what that means in terms of basketball IQ. He doesn't make dumb mistakes. And I think that Frank Mason sometimes makes dumb mistakes. And, you know, other times we haven't seen a whole lot of Graham. We don't know. But, you know, it's just you start to accumulate these things and, you know, us playing fantasy coach, you know, where guys should be. Should Selden be at the point guard? Should Sviatoslav? Well, from what we know, we're not Bill Self, but, you know, these are intriguing questions to ask.
Yeah, it's more fantasy basketball right now. But anyway,
hey, that's what this is. That's what the Jayhawk Talk podcast is. Fantasy KU basketball. Let's put together our lineup. And I will say this, you know, this is our, you know, including the two exhibition games, our fifth different starting lineup in five games. So, you know, Bill Self's toying around with it, too. Maybe we'll see a different lineup this weekend. But let's talk about the water with our water cooler conversation, the freshman minutes.
Water cooler conversations. Water cooler conversation.
All right, Andrew, we talked about this for a second earlier, but I think it needs a little more expansion, and that is the freshman minutes. Right now, Cliff is averaging 14 minutes, Oubre 10. Sviatoslav up to 20, and Graham is, it's kind of tough to say because he's missed a game, but he's also at 20. I think I want to focus mostly on Cliff and Oubre right now, and we'll get to Svi and Graham, but I want to say this to say that you look around the country and you see freshmen at Duke, freshmen at Kentucky, freshmen around the country, highly regarded, highly ranked guys making immediate impacts on their teams. The guys at Duke especially, I mean, you don't think of that being a crazy freshman, you know, type deal as Kentucky. but Justice Winslow has been a beast. Okafor, Jones hasn't done much, but, you know, at the same time, those guys are making immediate impacts on their team. Talent-wise, they're the best players on their team. And I think there's an argument to be made that Oubre and Cliff, talent-wise, are toward the top, or at least in the top five at their position, or top at their position on this team. And they're not making an impact, at least a very big one. And I guess, you know, I have two reactions to this. One, as the KU Bill Self truther that says, oh, you know, Bill Self has a plan. He's, you know, he's doing his thing. He can, he's trying to toughen them up, blah, 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 which is probably the case. But two, as more of like the also fan, how many of these guys around the country are looking at that and going, well, why would I go to Kansas and play and sit on the bench, you know, like Josh Selby did, like, you know, Oubre is doing now. Why wouldn't I go to Duke or Kentucky or Arizona or one of these other places where I can get on the floor right away? And Oubre was a stud. I mean, he was a high school stud. Everyone on the circuits loved him and blah, 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 blah. And he's going to be an immediate stud at KU. And he's not right now. And it makes you wonder if Self would let him play through these mistakes a little bit. If there's off the court stuff, then that's a whole different thing. But let him play through some of this and get seasoned now instead of just benching him. I don't know. It's just an issue that I think is worth talking about. What do you think?
Well, I hear what you're saying, but it's early. And I think it's a conversation we need to revisit, you know, after, you know, these, you know, string of games this weekend, see where they come along. Because we got to remember, and this is a topic that gets brought up, and the counterpoint is, you know, Mario Chalmers didn't start until, you know, almost the Big 12, the start of the Big 12 season his freshman year. And there's quite many examples of...
But that was a different time.
That was a different time, but you got to understand that Bill Self still coaches the way
right. He
coaches. You've got to have time to get to do it his way. And right. That's different than Coach K. That's different than Calipari, but it's probably not different with anyone else. You know, this is just the way it works for 99% of college basketball. And so you got to get them on board, and I think that it'll come along. These guys are talented enough that it will come along. So I'm not too worried about it, but something that we should probably address again down the line.
Yeah.
But as far as Sviatoslav, we should rename this segment for the next few minutes. Kevin and Andrew's love letter to Mr. Mikhailiuk.
Dear Sviatoslav.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, we should be pen pals.
Did you see that guy sitting in section 2? Row 21. That was me watching you play basketball. Love, Andrew.
Andrew.
P.S. Andrew. Good luck this weekend. We like this guy, right?
I can spell your name without looking at anything else.
Oh, I can't. Oh, you're way ahead of me there.
Yeah.
You must. This must be love, Kevin.
It is love.
Because that's tough.
I can do it.
He's my favorite player.
I think he's mine too, man. He's good. He's so fun to watch too.
Okay, he scored all 10 points last night in the span of 4 minutes. I mean, I wish it would have continued, but I have a feeling that when he gets to be the pinnacle of himself in the college basketball level, he's going to be everyone's favorite player.
We have him next year too.
I'm talking across the country. Like, this guy's going to blow up.
Yeah, we're on this train early, so that's...
So if we're talking about minutes, you know, he's averaging 20.7 points per game.
It's going up.
I am disappointed that it's not 40. Because, like, anytime he goes off the floor, I'm like, oh, man.
Come on.
Yeah, don't take him out. Let us know if this is a common thing on Twitter for you folks. Just, message us back. Does everyone feel this way? Because... I like this guy. This guy's one of my favorite guys to come through KU. I mean, he's only played 5 games, but maybe it's a combination of he's foreign, he's young, he can shoot threes, he's a tall guard, but, you know, this is going to be fun.
I still think that I have at least a little bit up on you in terms of the love, because I could pronounce his name early on, and I pronounced it to Bill Self, and he said, how you say it?
That's true. You have that. Like, go back and listen to that podcast, folks. Kevin did establish this early. It is recorded that this story happened.
I taught Bill Self how to pronounce it.
If we believe that it happened.
I swear to God it happened.
But moving on from Sviatoslav, because I think we could talk all day about it.
I just want to keep going.
Now we got to keep, because it's going to go on if we don't stop now.
All right.
Devontae Graham missed the game last night. What do you think from him? Is he the point guard of the future? Is he another stopgap? Is he another Nadir Elijah? You know, don't know if we're going to go forward with him. What do we know so far? Obviously, it's early, and obviously the Kentucky game is an anomaly, but what are we thinking?
See, this is one of those guys that I'm actually really excited about, because I think he's going to be a four-year player. I think he's going to continue to grow and get better. He's gotten a ton better just in the last year and 2 years, looking back at, you know, his kind of history and his path to get to KU. And I think that, you know, we're seeing him make mistakes now and struggle a little bit, but at the same time, the promise is there, and we need a distributor on this team. We haven't had one. We haven't had a good point guard in a long time. And, you know, the last one, I guess you could say, was Sharon, but he was kind of a score first guy. I think Devontae has the ability to maybe be an actual legitimate top of the line D1 point guard. But I don't think he's there yet. And so I think it'll be Mason's show a little bit, unless he continues to, you know, not do the things that Self wants. But Graham's going to get minutes this year just because, you know, as a ball handler, he's probably the second best on the team, and able to bring the ball up. I'm not sure. I'm not convinced, I guess, that we're going to see Mason and Graham on the floor together like we did a little bit earlier. But I think his minutes will drop a little bit. But I'm excited for him. I think the future is bright. And kind of one of those guys that, you know, we don't have those very often. A guy who'll probably be here 3 or 4 years and we can see grow.
I think so, too. All right. Let's move on to this weekend. Let's talk about Orlando.
Orlando!
But I pray I'm sent to my favorite place. Orlando!
Andrew, we have got the Orlando Classic coming up this Thanksgiving weekend. Tell me a little bit about our first matchup against Rhode Island.
So this is the Rhode Island Rams. Mm. You may be familiar with them from the 90s, late 90s, when we suffered a horrific, horrific loss to them. But this is a different team, different time. Couple things you need to know about Rhode Island. You see that first team on these tournaments. You know, this used to be called the Old Spice Classic, but now it's just the Orlando Classic. But you see these first teams, and you think, like, oh, pushover. But I don't think that this is a pushover. You know, they beat a ranked Nebraska team in overtime. This was in Rhode Island. Their KenPom ranked 105, which, you know, at this time of the year, based a lot on preseason stuff, but still pretty high. A guy we should look out for on Thursday is number 0, EC Matthews. He might be a tough guy to keep from scoring, but this might be our toughest matchup, you know, comparatively before the finals, assuming we win the first two rounds, which, you know, we shouldn't take for granted. We didn't pull that off last year. So Rhode Island's going to be a tough team. You know, not going to be a pushover Thursday at 1:00.
Yeah, I think you're right. I didn't really catch much of that Nebraska game, but I read a little bit about it and saw the reaction. And they were only Nebraska, by the way, was only a 1.5-point favorite in that game. So it wasn't like even Vegas thought it was going to be a runaway. They were giving Rhode Island some love. Obviously it ended up being true. They beat Nebraska up a little bit, and I think you're right. This might be the toughest game, tougher than the second game if we were to beat them. So next up, it will either be Tennessee or Santa Clara. And Andrew, if you had your choice, which one would you like to see in the second game?
Well, if I had to choose the easier team, it would probably be Santa Clara. But, you know, we've got to get a tougher test. Tennessee is kind of going through some transition at the moment.
Yeah.
Going through some troubles. Their first year coach is Donnie Tindall. Is that his name?
Tindall, yep.
Tindall. Well, he came from Southern Mississippi, which our good pal Doc now coaches at. Mm-hmm. And just they're being investigated for we don't know what, but some serious stuff with the NCAA. The assistant coach who was with him at Southern Mississippi just resigned, I believe, 2 days ago, or maybe it was yesterday. And so it's not this isn't a team that's, you know, completely put together, you know, with the new coach under fire. Assistant coaches resigning. As far as, you know, their actual team, don't know a whole lot about them. They lost to VCU by 16 and beat Texas Southern. Those are the only two games they've played. So, you know, I think that we can match up well with Tennessee, but it's tough to tell, you know, what's going on with them. But anyway, with Santa Clara, as long as they don't have Steve Nash on the team, we should be fine with them. They lost to Michigan State by 27 on Monday night. You know, wouldn't be too concerned if we played them. But I'm looking for a tougher test. I hope we'll play Tennessee in the second round.
So as for the last game, assuming we get through these first two, the likely opponent will be Michigan State. So we're going to ignore the rest of them. If we play someone else, awesome. If we play Michigan State, let's talk a little bit about them. We've seen them, obviously, early on at the Champions Classic. They are 13 in KenPom and currently ranked 20th. In the rankings, obviously struggled a little bit though at the gate. That first game they played was at Navy. I watched a little bit of that one. It was kind of a knockdown, drag out, ugly game, and they just won by 5. It was pretty close late. And then they obviously got pummeled by Duke in the Champions Classic. Since then, they've beat, two teams, one of which was Santa Clara by a whole bunch of points. And the next game up for them is Rider. So we'll get to see a little bit about, what they will do against a similar opponent. But the guys we got to watch out for, obviously they lost Adrian Payne and Keith Appling from that team last year. It was very good. But they still got a couple guys. Senior guard Travis Trice is leading the team in scoring. He's shooting 48% from three and is averaging 7 assists from a game as well to go along with 18 points. And then Brandon Dawson is also back. Kind of an undersized 4, so that sounds familiar, but he's averaging 15-8 at that forward spot. So they don't have a whole lot of beef, but they got some upperclassmen that are pretty strong and, you know, little bigger than us, at least at those positions. Matt Costello is kind of their big guy at 6'9", 245, so he'll be matched up with one of our bigs. It might be an interesting matchup for a guy like Jamari, muscling up a little bit. He's averaging like 7 points and 8 rebounds. So we'll watch for them. Hopefully we'll get to see them on Sunday. I think that will be a fun game, Andrew, especially to see where we're at, you know, after some of these other games. Maybe hopefully we can get back to the point where we're playing and beating ranked teams again.
One thing about Michigan State, if you do get a chance to watch them either against us or any other game, this Thanksgiving weekend, is a player by the name of Lou Rawls Nairn. His nickname is Tum Tum. Tum Tum from Three Ninjas. If you're familiar with Three Ninjas, the little brother.
And if you're not familiar with Three Ninjas, you should probably just turn off the podcast.
Yeah, because that's kind of like a canon.
This
like
isn't for you.
A prerequisite for understanding our humor and what we're doing is, it's, you know, a classic background of Three Ninjas, maybe even Three Ninjas Kickback. So if you don't know Tum Tum, you need to go out and watch Three Ninjas. But so anyway, his name is Tum Tum. Anyway, he went to Sunrise Christian Academy in Wichita. So kind of a local guy. I believe he's originally from out of the country. Let me look it up.
Somewhere.
But anyway, it ended up at Sunrise Christian Academy. Real fast. He got to play a little bit in that Duke game when Michigan State was in a little bit of foul trouble. So, you know, keep an eye out for him. Shorter guy, fast, but anyway, that's what I know about Michigan State.
Fair enough. Well, Andrew, let's talk a little bit about just expectations for this weekend. We're going to have, you know, obviously pretty quick turnaround. You play Thursday, Friday, and Sunday. So we're going to have three games in 4 days. What are you looking for from this team, you know, that coming up this weekend, playing these first two games and then hopefully a third against Michigan State?
A couple things. Looking for some consistency from some of the younger guys. Looking for them to be aggressive. Looking for them to look like they belong. Specifically from Kelly Oubre and Cliff Alexander. Now, Alexander's looked like he belonged, but I don't think he's yet to, you know, impose his physical will like he possibly can. And another thing, yeah, from a more structural standpoint, kind of looking for some stability in the starting lineup and in the rotation. Like, probably not necessarily what it's going to be, you know, in Big 12 play, but at least some clarity in terms of what this team is going to look like going forward. Because at this point, I don't think we really know.
Yeah, I think you're right. That's a great point, especially on the starting front. I don't know who the starters are going to be either, and that's kind of weird not knowing at this point. I think, you know, in the past, we've been to the point where, like, well, is Kevin Young going to start for a while, and then are they going to bring someone? You know, I don't know. It just it feels like I don't know who two of the starters are going to be, and I think they're going to be different than what we've seen going forward. So, will Cliff end up finding his way into the starting position over Jamari? Probably at some point, but when's that going to be? And you know, obviously, Svi has outplayed just about everyone at his position, so. We will see going forward. Those are definitely two things to watch for in these games. I'm looking for consistency as well, and I'm looking for intensity. I'm looking for a Bill Self defense team. I want, you know, defense to lead to offense. That's how they really got going in that first half against Rider. I would like that to continue and hopefully continue to build, you know, build back up. We got knocked down a few pegs last Tuesday. And Ryder was a little jump up and like to see a few more jumps up, and I think we'll be all right. Andrew, what do you say we move on to a little football? It's still going on, you know. Like
the football, we have one more game.
Football game, yeah.
So before we move on to talk about Bowen specifically, let's talk about K-State. K-State's on Saturday, Sunflower Showdown. What are we thinking? Do we have a shot?
Yeah, I think we got a shot. A shot to the extent that, I mean, we'll field a football team and they'll field a football team. And it's a weird ball that might bounce weird ways. And we got a chance.
Here's a question for you. If Clint Bowen wins this game, does he get the job?
I think that it would be a very, very, very difficult position for the athletic director, Dr. Shan Zanger, to give it to anybody else. I think he will get so much pressure from the people that probably matter that, yeah, I think he'd get the job. In fact, he'd probably get the job like the next day.
Right.
But at the same time, first of all, I don't think that's going to be an issue. But if it's a competitive game, Andrew, if it's a one score game in the fourth quarter, should he deserve the job?
I don't know. Well, let's talk about it. Okay, so I think you and I are both kind of in the middle to a certain extent in regards to Bowen. Like, we're not entirely sure, but we're not, like, anti-Bowen guys. And I think that, you know, it's been portrayed in the media, and, you know, it's lame to say that, but you're either a Bowen guy or not Bowen guy. I think there's a lot of people in the middle, and we're on that boat. But let's go to the polar opposite sides. I'll be the good cop. I'll say why Bowen should be hired. You be the bad cop. And just imagine it as we're the two devil and angel voices on Shane Zanger's shoulders, giving him advice in regards to whether he should make this hire or not. But I've got a couple things. I'll go first. So okay. Imagine me dressed in flowing white robes, angel wings, just flapping beside me or behind me over Shane Zanger's shoulder, the good cop. I'll say this. Is that he spent so much time here that he knows how to win at Kansas. He's been here under, you know, a bunch of coaches. He's seen success. He's seen failure. He knows what to do. He knows what not to do. And he's had time to think about a plan to be the head coach for this team for over 20 years. Like, he's been thinking about how to make this work for over 20 years. I'm sure that he's implemented some of that already. To whether it's been successful or not, you know, you can be the judge. But he knows what to do better than anyone in terms of coming in with a plan. You hire someone else, they're going to have to come up with a plan in, you know, a couple hours, you know, a couple weeks, and then get out on the recruiting trail and try to execute. He's already way ahead of those people. That's my first point.
Okay, so I'm on the other side. I'm dressed in, I don't know, red or something. I look like Lou Perkins.
You're just on fire.
Yeah, on fire. I'm like Lou Perkins.
You're Lou Perkins.
I'm holding a cigar, and I'm going to sell you this poem. What do we know about Clint Bowen, Andrew? We know that he's obviously a huge KU fan, KU guy, crimson and blue, blah, 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 all the way through. That means, like, very, very little to me, I guess. A lot of people are talking about how you want somebody who's not going to leave if they have success. Listen, if we have success to the point where someone has to leave to get a better job, that was a good ass hire. Like that, and that has not happened. When was the last time that happened? Glenn Mason. And that's been a long, long, long time ago. So I guess I'm to the point where I don't care if he's the biggest KU fan out there. That doesn't matter to me. The only thing that matters to me is, can you coach? Can you recruit? And can you build a program? Not just for 2 years or 3 years, but over the long haul, at least putting together something to get there. And so what do we know about Bowen? We know that this year he's got a bunch of guys to buy in, you know, to his program that already quit on another coach. Great. Okay. That's awesome. But can he, we don't know if he can recruit, you know, as a head coach. We don't know if he can put together a great staff. And obviously this will be his first time doing it. I understand where you're coming from when you say that he's been thinking about this forever and he knows what works here and he knows what doesn't work here, but he's been here through a lot of this not good times. I mean, he's been a part of it. Does he have a little KU football stain to him? Do we need to clean house and bring someone else in and start over? Maybe we do. I mean, especially if it's somebody who's able to recruit and has the connections already built and established in the, you know, in the coaching world. Clint, obviously well-liked, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, being well-liked and being a KU guy, is that enough? There you go.
Okay, I'll close it off with one last point, and then you can rebuttal if you need to.
Okay.
He's as qualified, you know, comparatively, as any of these other KU coaches, KU family coaches that we're talking about. Talking Dave Vady, Ed Warner. Now, they're at other schools, but, you know, Clint Bowen probably has had opportunities to move to other schools and decided to stay. So them coming back, you know, he's just as qualified, except he's already here. As far as a recruiting guy, he has a reputation of being a fierce recruiter. You know, some have said that if he went to a Texas school, you know, he'd just clean up. You know, he's had good press. He's increased his stature in the media and amongst recruits, you know, tremendously in the past 2 months, because everybody in the local media, national media, regional media has been talking about him. So you won't have a feeling of starting over, you know, starting over again. You can kind of build on the small victories, the small things that went well this year moving forward. So, you know, that's why he'd be a good hire. You're moving forward with kind of what you know and can kind of build on that. But, you know, I understand what you're saying. But here he is. He may be the best coach right under our noses.
I understand that. And the good news is, because he is such a KU guy and because he bleeds crimson and blue and blah, 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 I don't think he'd be going anywhere. I don't think he's going to go take a defensive coordinator job at Boise State. I think if we hire another head coach, I think Zanger can tell that head coach, hey, you can take this job. We'll pay you $1.5 million, but it's conditioned on you keeping Clint Bowen around as defensive coordinator. And maybe even associate head coach, depending on who comes in, assistant head coach. And that's fine. That's great. In fact, I'm kind of for that. If, Andrew, the person that you hire is more qualified, is better, has a better vision, has better leadership, can recruit, can put together a staff. And those are the things that Shea and Zanger and his little committee are going to have to figure out. Because a lot of alums and a lot of people and a lot of the media are out there, you know, shooting a lot up Clint's ass about how awesome he is and how great a hire, how easy a hire it is. Stop making, you know, stop dragging it out, blah, blah, blah. That's great. But this is probably Dr. Zanger's last hire if it doesn't work out, because he'd probably be fired. You don't really get to hire a whole bunch of football coaches and stick around as an athletics director. So he wants to get this right. And after that Charlie Weiss debacle, and certainly after Turner Gill, obviously that wasn't his fault, but after the last two guys, you got to get this right. And if the other guys, if someone else steps up and just is a better interview, has a better vision, and the committee and Zanger decide that's the case, you can't be short-sighted, and you can't succumb to you know, media pressure or to, you know, athletics boosters. You got to hire the right guy. Unless KU beats K-State, then everything I just said is out the window, and you can hire him the next day, and I really can't argue. So there you go.
Okay. You know, more on that next week. I think next week we should address, you know, kind of the state of the program, you know, after the end of the season here. And then we'll probably have a bunch of coaching names that crop up in between now and then in terms of who we're talking to, who we're interviewing. It'll be towards the end of the season. So, you know, we'll keep up. Maybe we'll revisit our 50 names list, see if we need to take anybody off, put anybody back on, and kind of give us an overview of, you know, who's going to be the coach going forward. But we should know a lot more next week.
Andrew, I got to let you know, I'm sitting here listening to you sort of while watching the K-State-Arizona matchup. It is a tie ball game with 16 minutes left, 36-36. Give me your prediction on this game.
The Wildcats win.
Yeah, that's funny. Okay, I'll let you off the hook on that one.
That's a good joke. That's good. That's quick, right? Like, that was a quick – I had to be quick to come up with that.
Not really. I mean – I guess
Arizona wins.
Yeah, I think so too. But good on K-State showing up a little bit. They haven't been playing very well. Andrew, let's close out here. I want to ask you, we had a fan approach us at the last football game we were at. It was the Iowa State game. Actually, it was two ago. And it was Iowa State. And of course, we were winning the game and all was going well. There were quite a few Iowa State fans there. It's kind of annoying. And, you know, as the Iowa State fans were walking up, our drunk friend was yelling at him and saying, you know, hey, enjoy your trip back to Ames or whatever. You know, it wasn't anything bad. It was just kind of like, enjoy your trip back. Thanks for coming. And the guy said to us point blank, we'll see you on the basketball court.
Yeah, that was outrageous. All of you don't just get to say that. We get to say
that's
that.
That's our thing. You that's can't say that. That's thing. Our thing.
So Iowa State, just be warned. That's our thing.
That's our
you
thing.
Don't get to say we'll see you on the basketball. You don't get
to say that.
You don't get to say that.
We were all just shocked. Like, no one even responded for like a minute or 30 seconds. And then everyone kind of figured out what he said and then, you know, started yelling back. You can't say that. But anyway, I thought that was kind of funny. I forgot to bring it up on the podcast until now. So
yeah, it's important. It needs to be out there, though. Like, we got to mark our territory. That is our thing.
Our thing. You can't steal that from us. All right. Let's get out of here, Andrew. Thank you very much for listening to the Jayhawk Talk podcast. You can find us on Twitter. I'm at Jayhawk Talk, and Andrew is at, what is your thing again? Sherlock Hoops. Yeah, I always want to say you're old, man. At Sherlock Hoops, reach out to us on Twitter. Let us know what you think of the show. And please do us a huge favor and go on to iTunes. You're listening to it now, probably on iTunes. Just take 10 seconds. Give us a little rating on iTunes, whatever you think is right, you know, as long as it's between 4.5 and 5 stars. And leave us a comment. Say Rock Chalk. Say anything. But it really helps us to get the podcast out there if you do that. So if you've made it this far, please do us a big favor, rate and review and subscribe on iTunes. It really helps us out. We will catch you next time talking all about Orlando, a little football next week. We will catch you then. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks, Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, because we Hawks, baby.
for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks, Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. I tried to tell them every time we on the court. I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us, they know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel, they know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans.
This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks, Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks, Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing. And look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering. Nine times get to cheering with them banners held high and the crowd going wild. Night before the Final Four, you can't even sleep now. Yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap down. March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court, so we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together, but win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man, but one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks, Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks, Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
Ron's from a Jayhawk fans.
All right, have fun in Vegas.
Hey, thanks. I'm going to go to Vegas, and I'm going to bet on every KU basketball game and every NFL game and every other college basketball game going on.
Your wife won't let you do that?
Awesome. Yeah, I think.
Okay.
I mean... What is it? I mean, I'm not going to like sit at the sports book all day, but I can be like, honey, I just got to stop over here at the bathroom real fast. And then, you know, time the bathroom trip right next to the sports book, have it all planned out in my head, walk up to the window, peek-a-boop, peek-a-boop.
Okay.
I'll take KU minus 37.5 for St. Clara. Number.
That's probably what it'll be.
1392, first half. Wager.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
Bye.